Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Sunday will mark the first ever meeting between Dak Prescott and Tom Brady. Earlier this season, Jerry Jones said that Dak is evolving into a quarterback similar to TB12. But last year during Super Bowl week, Cowboys wide receiver Amari Cooper had an interesting comment on which QB he'd rather play with. Take a listen.
I don't want to play with Tom Brady. I want to beat Tom Brady. I want to play with Dak Prescott. And I believe that we can get the job done.
Remember that. Shannon, what do you read into this?
I love it. I love that he said this because so many times you hear guys, Skip, who wouldn't love to play with Tom Brady? He's just a GOAT. He won 6 Super Bowls. Mara said, nah. I like what I got. My guy and moving forward, my guy gonna be better moving forward than that guy.
Mm-hmm. Is that what he's saying?
That's what he's saying.
Good. Love it.
I bet you do love it. Mm-hmm. Skip, that's what you want your guy to... Skip, you don't look. Being in the league and going to Pro Bowls and getting an opportunity to play with some of the great quarterbacks, the Marinos, mm-hmm. I played with Marino in the Pro Bowl, Montana, Warren Moon, Jim Kelly. I played with all those guys. Yeah, it was nice. But what I look like, Skip, man, woo, I sure wish I could play with Marino. Mm. Man, I wish I could play with Warren Moon. Nah, you don't say that.
Don't say
and what he said okay. is that I want to beat Tom Brady. I want to play with him. Mm. I want me and my guy. I want to play with my guy, which is Dak Prescott, mm-hmm. and I want to beat Tom Brady.
Yep.
See, that's what you want to have your receiver say.
Sure.
Not bring a guy some cleats, not heap praise on him like he's Caesar. You know, we come to praise Caesar.
That's true. The cleats.
Not to bury him.
Not to bury him.
Mm-hmm.
No, but man, if it wasn't so. But anyway, you know, Skip, old Mark Antony, oration.
Wow.
You know, Skip, you remember that? Reciting. I was good at it, Skip.
You guys are
Shakespearean.
So well read.
Skip, it would be
don't
a
get me started.
Skip, it would
every time Shakespeare comes up on a Jeopardy category, looks at me and says, I'm out.
Oh, you run the category, huh?
Really?
Yeah.
But see, you just blurting out answers. You got to ring the buzzer. You got
to
let.
I know.
You
that is the key to it.
That is the key.
I know, because you did it.
I had to learn the hard way.
That's why I would be afraid. Ernestine always says, you could just kill Jeopardy. If you go on Celebrity Jeopardy, I said, I don't know if I could do this.
Yeah, you got to wait. He has to wait till he finishes reading the question in its entirety.
Is that half
because
the
if you
battle?
Because if you buzz in, it locks you out.
I never even thought about that.
Yes. But anyway, Skip, it would be a problem, Skip.
Huh.
For me, I could imagine me playing, you know, me and John, and he's like, man, I sure would love to throw Tony Gonzalez some passes. Mm-hmm. Or Ben Coates. Yeah, you might have to do it with one eye because I'm going to hit you in one of the other ones. So, no, you don't do that, Skip. You don't show up your quarterback and talk about you want to play with somebody else. You don't do that.
Mm.
And Amari Cooper, I love what he said. I love the conviction because she tried to set him up. Now, that was a Boston area reporter.
Yes.
So she tried to look at because you know they want everybody. Oh, everybody want to play Tom Brady. You see, everybody. Oh, Amari Cooper and Julio Jones and yada, yada, yada. So she tried to set him up. But Amari said, nah, I don't want to play with Tom Brady. I want to play with Dak.
Mm.
And we want to beat Tom Brady.
Mm.
So I loved it. Mm. Amari Cooper might be one of my new faves.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, he better be your fave on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
So I loved it twice as much as you loved
I
it
bet
for
you
this
did.
Reason. And you touched upon it, and so did Jenny. I'm pretty sure that Amari, this is at the Super Bowl,
right.
I'm sure Amari's agent or manager or PR person warned him. You're about to speak to NESN,
mm-hmm.
New England Sports Network.
Mm-hmm.
Be ready for NESN questions, as in Brady questions,
correct.
As in Patriot questions.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure he'd been prepped, and he still showed no fear and blurted out, I want to beat Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I believe that most great receivers would give more of a PC answer. Mm-hmm.
Who wouldn't want to play with Tom Brady?
Yeah, that kind of an answer. Or, hey, it would be an honor to play with
yes.
Tom. You could then say, I love my quarterback, but it would be an honor. Who wouldn't
right.
want to? Yes,
right.
that sort
you're
of
right.
thing. And he just went right to, I want to beat Tom Brady. I want to play with Dak Prescott. I believe that we can get the job done.
Right.
And then I want to double down on this because he did in a subsequent interview on the same, right in the same media session, there, you just walk around all the different booths.
They got to be 500 meters.
500 booths. And he stopped by the NFL Network booth. And he was interviewed, and the first question seemed to offend him. And I don't have the sound. I'm just going to read you the answer to it, if we could see this. He was asked, do you think Dak Prescott is a franchise quarterback? And his answer was, of course. Like, he was a little offended by the question. You don't see that? He's a winner. I love Dak. He's a born leader from what I can see. He's going to put it all on the line. And all the close games we had this year, he was the one making those big plays, leading us to victory. I just like everything about Dak. Mm-hmm. It's the same theme that I talk about almost every day on this show and have for 3.5 years.
Yes. Sure.
It's this perception out there, maybe started and led by you, fed by you, which is Dak really the answer at quarterback? It's why I continue to say most over-criticized, underappreciated quarterback I've ever closely observed or talked about on television or written about is Dak Prescott. And that's the answer that you just got from Amari. He loves this guy. And this guy and Amari have a connection, a deep sort of soul connection that manifests itself on the field. And it's as strong as any connection you
it
can
is.
Talk. You had one with John Elway. Mm-hmm. And we can go all through Marvin Harrison and Peyton or whoever you want to talk about. We can go on and on. We can go back to Drew Pearson and Roger Staubach in the good old days with
Montana
the Cowboys.
And Rice.
Montana and
right
Rice.
Right now is Breeze and Michael Thomas.
Okay, you can go there. But on the depth of connection on and off the field, there's nothing stronger than this one. Maybe Drew and Michael have as strong, but this one I don't doubt. And the reason this is so significant this week is, guess who plays for the other team?
Stephon Gilmore.
Mm-hmm. Last year, Stephon Gilmore finished the year ranked number one by Pro Football Focus among all corners. Mm-hmm. You would say he's as good a shutdown corner as we have in the league now, right?
He might be the best right now.
He just might be the best. Mm-hmm. His grade this year isn't quite as good as last year, but we could nitpick that. Right now, ranked number one of all the wide receivers in overall grade by Pro Football Focus is Amari Cooper. So arguably, we have
one versus one.
One versus one, at least in grading. Mm-hmm. Route running. You always say, is there a better route runner than Amari?
No. He's up there to the top. It's good. Okay. You'll see.
Okay. And we saw the connection between Dak and Amari against your Vikings was just extraordinary.
Sure.
Where Dak's like falling out of bounds and throws it sidearm up the boundary and he catches it out of bounds.
Yeah.
It's just a wavelength. It's something that's pretty extraordinary to me. And again, it's not like he's eating, burning up the league because Amari hasn't played that much. Like
Skip,
he's been in and out of the league.
But Skip, he's still fourth in receiving yards.
No, he's 16th in catches.
Yeah, but I'm saying, receiving yards, only Michael Thomas, Godwin, mm-hmm. Mike Evans is in front of him.
Okay, but if he had been healthy from camp on, like he's had a heel issue, then some kind of, it manifested to foot, and then it turned into some kind of knee issue.
But it just goes to show you how technically mm-hmm. sound he is, mm-hmm. that he doesn't have to rely on speed.
Nope.
See, when you technically sound, mm-hmm. you can still get open even though you don't have the blazing speed.
I don't think he has blazing speed.
No, no. He doesn't have, Tyreek and some of these other guys, Skip, but he's so sound, and that's why he'll be able to play for a long, long time. The guys like Steve Largent, that had, Skip, he had no speed.
Yep.
But he still had, when he retired, he had the most receiving touchdowns mm-hmm. in NFL history.
Yep.
And he was able to do what he did because he was so technologically sound and savvy in his route running skill. That's why Amari's able to do what he's doing, dealing with the issues, his lower legs, would you say a heel, ankle, whatever it is, knee. That's why he's able to continue to still get open because he relies on other things other than speed.
Okay. And then to frame this one more time, this wasn't Amari talking this week. This was Amari talking at last year's Super Bowl. So he hadn't even seen the Dak we've seen continue to rise this year.
But actually he saw it in practice.
But he saw it for 10 games last year. And I'm going to defend my guy Dak one more time because I thought those 10 games were extraordinary. Nobody else did. You certainly didn't. But I saw a guy over those 10 games lead the whole league in completions. Mm-hmm. I saw a guy against the Eagles at Jerry World in the fourth quarter in overtime throw for 243 yards. He completed 17 of 20, 3 touchdowns and no interceptions. That's the guy Amari's talking about when you ask him, is he a franchise quarterback after that year? And again, they won the division again. So they've won the division 2 out of 3 years. And you're asking Amari Cooper, is he a franchise quarterback? Wouldn't you be offended if you're Amari Cooper, right?
Yeah, the rapport that I've had with the guy after only 8-9 games. But, Skip, I believe in his heart of hearts that he believed moving forward that Dak's going to be a better quarterback. Now, he doesn't know how long, Tom says he wants to play to 45, 47, whatever it is. I believe in his heart of hearts, he believed that Dak Prescott, from that point that he said that moving forward, would be a better quarterback than Tom Brady.
I believe he thought that, too, and still thinks that.
Absolutely.
Yep. And believes that will be the case Sunday.
Yes.
All right. Amari and his guy.
He better,
Dak,
he better be.
His chance.
But think about Belichick's advantage. He can put Stephon on Amari, and then you can double anybody you want
to
double.
I would like to see Amari at full strength because as a route runner, see, Stephon Gilmore does really well against big guys.
He does.
That doesn't have lateral quickness. Yep. Dude, hey, Amari, lateral quickness, start, stop. Mm. He's as good as it is.
Yeah.
That's why Gilmore will struggle against a guy like AB, a guy that can start that.
I got it.
That punt return kind of ability.
Well, this is going to be the game within the game.
It is.
These two.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, he's definitely following. But what I would do, Skip, I would take Gilmore and put him on the second guy, Gallup, and then I would double Amari.
You could.
Okay.
You could, but that's not their MO. That's not how they've been doing it.
Because a lot of times that's what Dallas will sometimes. And if the guy started going off, they would take Deion, put him on the second guy, and then they would roll coverage and double the number one guy. But then Deion's like, oh, no, this ain't me.
Although I would say,
give me Jerry.
At the end of the Eagles game, a lot of times they put Stephon on Zach Ertz.
Yes.
Because they just said, well, he's your guy, right?
And guys, if you're that dog, Skip, you want that challenge. I don't care what position he plays.
Him.
If you're a DB, if the guy's a tight end, he's a wide out. No. Bro, you ain't finna get all that. Get these cheap yards and have us looking bad. Let me shut this down. No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
No mercy. While Philly is just a game back of Skip's Cowboys in the NFC East, some people have started to ask questions about Carson Wentz's development. Ever since being an MVP candidate 2 seasons ago, Wentz has yet to recapture that magic, leading Bleacher Report to write that, quote, Wentz's decline is one of the steepest in recent cases. The article cites both Wentz's own accuracy issues as well as Eagles receivers dropping too many passes. Yeah. It's big there, Shannon. Who deserves more blame, Wentz or his receivers?
He saw that. Receivers.
Mm.
Mainly Aguilar.
Mm.
They even got memes out there about him.
Could you catch a baby?
Yeah, they were rescuing babies, burning buildings. They throwing babies.
Mm-hmm.
Like Aguilar.
I forgot about
couldn't
that.
Catch anything. On.
That was viral.
Skip, this is a shame. And you talk about where they keep putting him out there. That just goes to show you. This is all they have, and they got to put him out there. Look at this, Skip. I mean, you're a receiver. You got to be able to adjust.
That was a hard kick.
No, Skip. You got to put that in your
over
pocket.
The wrong shoulder.
What about that one right there in Atlanta? What about Atlanta?
That was a bad drop.
Okay. Look at this, Skip. That's a game winner. Mm-hmm. You see, and your retort to me, well, the Cowboys are tied for second in drops.
Mm-hmm.
All drops aren't created equal. Because Pro Football Focus say when they do QBR, Skip, interception at the beginning of the game is not the same, doesn't weigh the same as one at the end of the game.
That's true.
You drop a pass like Goddard did against against the Lions, in the end zone, that would have won the game. Whoo, that hurt. And then you got Ortega Whiteside. Look at this. What is that?
Boy, you went heavy tape today.
Look at this.
Did his research
I don't like your, look at this. Hey, we were like, look at this, Skip. What am I supposed to do about that?
Talk about it.
You do understand the objective of a wide receiver job is to catch the ball. You can either be a receiver or you can be a retriever. Now, a receiver catches things. A retriever picks things up and brings it back. Oh. Golden retriever, Labrador retriever. Yeah. You know what I'm saying, Skip? You didn't know.
Green retriever.
But, Skip, this is ridiculous. And I understand that Wentz, his accuracy, Skip, he's never going to be Drew Brees. He's never going to be Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers when it comes to accuracy. That's not what he is because he wants to push the ball down the field entirely too much. See, he don't like the small fish. Small fish, they dabble around the edge. He want big fish. They out deep. You know, you ain't going to catch no 2,000-pound marlin fishing around the edge. You got to go way out, Skip. You know, I went marlin fishing one time. Caught one, 175, you know, a little something.
Really?
Yeah. Went to the Big Island. Big.
Really? I went marlin fishing one time and threw up my breakfast.
Exactly. Is that what you call?
Yeah, I did. Right into the sea. Every last ounce of it.
Yeah? Yeah.
Like Skip, look. The thing is, they go hand in hand. And I think what has happened is that sometimes you lose confidence in your guys when they start dropping passes.
Yeah.
We were playing the Raiders one year, and Jeff George was the quarterback, and Ricky Dudley had a problem with dropping passes. It was fourth down, Skip. Ricky Dudley was wide open. Jeff George looked at him, turned, incomplete. He lost confidence in him. And I think sometimes quarterbacks, and especially young quarterbacks, that, you know, sometimes you'll see him, well, he went right back to him to show you that he still has confidence in him. But Skip, after a while, drop here, drop there, drop here. And the thing is, but unlike most teams that have guys that can put other guys out there, they're so thin at the receiver position, they got no choice but to put Aguilar out there. They signed Jordan Matthews. Jordan Matthews can only play for one team, and that's it, Philly. Everywhere else he goes, Skip, he gets cut. And they just brought him back in. Though he can't play for anybody but you. Yeah, the receivers get... I mean, Carson is not walking to him. It's not without fault. But a lion's share... 65% of this goes to his receivers.
That's a lion's share, 65%?
65.
I think you'd say 85%.
No.
That was objective on your part. So, here's what I see in your man, walk it to him, who can be bounce it to him. Biggest picture, the Eagles' problem isn't Carson Wentz, it's Nick Foles. Because I told you before the year started, no quarterback will feel more pressure and responsibility on his shoulder pads than this kid, and he's still a kid, will feel. Because Nick Foles was godlike in that locker room. They built a shrine to him because come playoff time, I don't even know who that guy was. He was Joe Montana. And maybe the greatest run we've ever seen through the playoffs, it wasn't great against Atlanta, but again against Minnesota and then against Belichick, he was just sensational.
What?
Nick Foles was the MVP of the Super Bowl. 41 points on Belichick's defense. And then was on another magical run last year until he had Alshon in New Orleans and he dropped it.
Hold up. Is Alshon Jeffrey still on this current roster?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, it's interesting you brought up Jeff George, and I don't know if our younger viewers will remember Jeff George, but there is some Jeff George in Carson Wentz. And I don't mean in head, but in arm strength. Because Jeff George could throw it through a brick wall.
He could throw it 100 yards.
Yeah, he could throw it 100 yards. Maybe, I'm not sure we've ever seen a bigger arm than his. And listen, Carson Wentz can wing it. But my issue with him from the start, and I told you this from his rookie year on, he wants to just hoof and puff and throw it right through your brick wall. Or he wants to heave it 100 yards and hope that somebody can run underneath it and create a spectacular touchdown pass.
Well, he had that.
Game one, he had that guy.
D-Jack.
He had Deshaun. He had D-Jack. In game one, D-Jack went deep twice, and he hit him for 51 and 53-yard touchdowns against, albeit, the Washington Redskins. And you say they're garbage. But whatever, he did that.
Yeah.
And Carson Wentz is much more comfortable on the deep ball than the intermediate or the short ball.
Yeah.
I don't love his feel for playing quarterback. I don't love his touch. And sometimes he throws it so hard, even his body language looks like he's throwing it hard, that I don't think he throws the most catchable mid-range pass. Now, Zach Ertz is a big, tough, athletic guy, and he seems to be able to snag just about anything Carson Wentz throws. It's like he wills his catches. He's he's playing with a fury out there. And yet, in this case, Carson Wentz, again, you can argue he's creating the drops in some ways because I don't think his receivers are that comfortable with the way he throws it to them. And I get you. You were right. The Aguilar drop is unconscionable and indefensible. It's a game loser or a game winner. He just flat out cold dropped it.
Yeah.
But again, if you look at our stat, everybody's got different stats, but the stats we use have the Eagles tied for fifth in drops. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys are tied for third. Well, has it hurt Dak? No, he's just skyrocketing.
But what if Amari Cooper dropped a touchdown in the end zone that would have won the game?
Okay.
What if Gallup would have dropped a touchdown like Goddard? Mm. Dropped that touchdown against Detroit. Aguilar against the Falcons.
Yep.
Whiteside had an opportunity, and he dropped it. Mm. And then as bad as he played last week against the Patriots, and he wasn't very good. Like you said, it was a windy day. The wind was blowing. It was cold. He put the ball in Aguilar's hand with a chance for a game-tying touchdown.
He did. And it was a good read and a good throw because it was
zero coverage.
Zero coverage. Yep. There's no safety back there. And he just said, I got him solo, and I'm just going to throw it up into the wind and hope it comes down in his hands. And he threw it with touch. And it's one of the best throws he's ever made to my eye test.
Yeah, and got nothing to show for it.
Okay, he's got nothing to show for it. But there's rapport that you build because sometimes receivers get it in their head. This guy throws me sweet balls. Like, I can just catch it. It's just like begging me to catch it. Mm-hmm. I think Amari thinks Dak throws him balls that are just begging to be caught. Amari's dropped some this year.
And something to keep up, I mean, I've been in huddles where guys have hands, have great hands, but they get crunch time, it gets fourth quarter, late in the ball game, they're looking at the quarterback like, don't throw me this ball. Throw this ball to Sharp. Throw this ball to somebody else. Don't throw it to me.
No, I agree.
And I believe Aguilar, that gets in Aguilar's head. I think it gets in some guys' head, Skip, because we've seen guys make unbelievable catches in the first quarter or when the game is meaningless. But when you need them, the routine stuff, you're like, dude, how you drop that? It just happens.
Alshon's caught a lot of balls from Carson Wentz, though. And again, the greatest security blanket in the league is Zach Ertz. He goes to him like crazy.
Right.
When in doubt, look for 86.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, against the Seattle defense Sunday, this is a big game for Carson Wentz. This is one of those on-the-edge games.
You say he's a hunter, right? And hunters, though, you know, sometimes they go a pheasant and they go quail. But most of the time, they go big game. Cape buffalo.
Really?
Yeah. They go get one of the big five. Mm. I don't recommend that. I hate that they do that. But I'm just saying, most people are big game hunters. Mm. Carson Wentz is a big game hunter. No mercy.
So Kawhi Leonard and Paul George played their first game of the season together last night, and they did not disappoint, combining for 42 points in the Clippers' 107-104 overtime win over the Celtics. Lou Williams finished with a team-high 27 points, but it was Kawhi who clinched the victory with a last-second block on Kemba Walker, and it was pretty. We're now joined by Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard. Morning, Chris.
Good morning. Good
morning.
Your first impression of Kawhi and Paul George, what'd you make of it?
It was scary because at times they were sloppy. And on your first time ever playing with each other, you can beat a very good Boston Celtics team. I mean, that says that the potential for this team with these two is scary high. Hmm. It's hard, and you know this, you guys know this, it's hard to fit two stars together at times. When both are used to being the man.
Especially play the same position.
Right. In the same position, both are used to being the man, both are used to being the first option, and there's a tendency to kind of defer a little bit and make sure he's getting the ball and he, you know, and stuff like that. And that's why I think each of them have 5 turnovers. Combined, they only shot 39%, so they probably weren't getting on the same spots they're used to getting to and getting the ball as much as they're used to. So Doc Rivers talked about they had 23 turnovers as a team. So it was some sloppiness going on. But as I said, to be able to beat Boston in your first time ever playing, remember when Wade and LeBron first came together, they got beat by Boston in Boston when they were in Miami. So I was impressed. But two things really stood out to me more than anything. Number one was the defense, especially in overtime. When they had the two stars, Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, and Pat Beverly, they were smothering. And they held Boston to 30% shooting. Of course, Kawhi gets the block. But it looked like everything was tough for the Celtics. Every pass, every dribble was tough for the Celtics. Mm-hmm. So that was a plus. And then secondly, I was very bothered and disappointed by that last play in regulation where they just iso'd Kawhi at the top of the key. The things that had gotten them back in the game to that point was the ball moving and finding open
totally
man.
Totally agree.
Lou Williams goes for 13 in the fourth quarter. And then after that, in overtime, it's moving, finding open man. Patrick Beverley hits two threes, and he's the hero. This team with Lou Williams and the two stars, you got three bona fide scores. And then Harold can cut and slice and can't, you know, finish. And Beverly obviously can catch and shoot. They should they should have run a play with options for any of those guys. They don't need hero ball. And even during the course of the game, they should that's how they should play. Kawhi and George and Lou are going to be the leading scorers, but let the ball find the open man. They don't have to go too much ISO, even though they will at times, because they have so many weapons. So I was Doc Rivers is better than that. I don't know if he did that or Kawhi just decided I'm going to go solo. But
I mean, I was looking. I didn't see him wave off anybody, because a lot of times they'll wave him off. No, I don't need to pick. I'm good. I don't need anything. Let me go and do what operate. I agree with you. Defensively, they're going to probably be better than I even thought they were, because they can switch everything. Right. When they went to that lineup that they had last night, Pat Bev, Paul George, Kawhi, and Trez, you got four outstanding defenders. And they switch everything. So it doesn't matter if you run the wheel out top, because it doesn't matter who you end up on, because Pat Bev feels just as comfortable guarding Kemba as he does Jason Tatum, as he does Jaylen Brown or Marcus Smart. So it really doesn't matter to him. And we know what Paul George and Kawhi represent defensively. But for me, you feel comfortable? Did you see Kawhi? He spent a lot of time bent over last night. Did you see that, Skip Bayless? Because that's what happened.
He was rubbing his knee.
I ain't rubbing no knee. I saw him pull it on them shorts like this here. When his shoulders move, like, he wasn't dancing. You know, sometimes they do that. No, he wasn't doing the Jabba walking.
You realize that's what happens when you're chasing Kemba Walker the whole game.
Whoa. Actually, stop this. I need you to stop this. Because, Chris Bessard, you know, if LeBron James had put a game together like this, 7 or 20, the man, and what he did in the Skip.
We'd have been wondering, is he
what? Over?
I agree.
LeBron had his shot blocked, and this man came in here, Shannon, it's over. It's over for your
Mario
kid.
Hazonia? Really?
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
That was a little premature, though, right?
I didn't say it was over. I just said he looks old.
How you looking at? Now, who looks older? Kawhi or Braun?
I'm going to save that for our next topic.
Okay.
How about this here, Chris? The guy took three games off, and he still need low man. He limping, hobbling.
Yep.
My guy dunking on folks at 35. Yep. Dunking on them.
Can I follow that up quickly? Kawhi in November, that's five games, 35% from the field, 22% from threes. Now, I don't know if it's rust, because you're only playing once a week or whatever it is.
Yeah, because you know you're not practicing.
Right. Is the knee bothering you? This is just something for them to watch. You know, is the knee degenerate? Just watch it, because he's not still obviously playing well, but not to his normal standards. And two of his last three games have been poor.
For his first five games, he led the whole league in fourth quarter scoring. He just took over. He was scoring 18 points in the fourth quarter.
Two of his against Toronto, he had 12 points. And then last night,
and now he can't get 18
game,
in the game.
He was 7 for 20. So
I tried to instruct Shannon on this. I don't think it got home.
It did.
Yeah. The key Kawhi stat is not under Clippers stats, it's under Boston stats, because Kawhi Leonard did play almost 38 minutes. And to my eye, and I can't track it exactly, and they're doing a lot of switching, but he was assigned Kemba Walker. And he took Kemba Walker completely out of the game, because Kemba Walker, who is the biggest scoring threat, I think, on the Celtics, shot 4 of 17. Couldn't even get to the free throw line. He was 2 of 3 from the free throw line, so he couldn't even get Kawhi to foul him. Kawhi's too long and too quick and too tenacious for Kemba Walker. And it went all the way to the last shot in overtime, and the claw clawed him. Mm. If we could see this one more time, he just clawed him.
Yep.
And Kemba's small, I get that, but small can be tough. When you're as quick as Kemba is. Maybe he's not as quick as he used to be, but...
Well, he is, but he knows he got to get the shot off or the shot clock's going to buzz, because normally, you know, Kemba, he'll dart you in and get you up off him, but he couldn't do that.
Nope, he couldn't do it. So I'm with Chris. Big picture, I saw a suffocating defensive team. I saw Patrick Beverley absolutely disrupt the whole Celtic offense. They were having a hard time dribbling past half court because he's just snaking the ball from everybody. and it got contagious because Lou Will made a couple of defensive plays that shocked me where he stole the ball from people. So Montrez can defend at a high level, and all of a sudden, you took the Boston Celtics out of everything they did. They missed their first 16 three-point shots, and then they were 1-for-18 from three at halftime. How were they in the – they were leading at halftime, 1-for-18. They were leading by 10 with 6 minutes left. They were leading by 7 with 2:30 left in the game. And yet, despite all this, somehow the home team won the game. And John Hollinger reported that Kawhi and Paul George had only been in one practice together in which they scrimmaged on opposite sides briefly, where they weren't even on the same scrimmage team in practice.
Right.
So they had not actually played a second of joint basketball, you know, team basketball. So you got to give them some break because at least the Miami Heat that first year, at least they had training camp.
Remember,
together,
that
right?
was it was they really went, publicized,
yeah,
too. They
huge.
Went to
Hawaii
base or something like that.
Yeah, they did. So, and remember, they got off to a horrendous start. Didn't they fall to like...
They were like 9-8.
Remember, they lost a Monday night game at home to Portland, and Chris Bosh had a terrible game, and it was the low point. It was like 500.
Was that the bump when LeBron bumped Smoltz?
Yeah, he rubbed Smoltz to get up off him.
Right, right.
But then slowly but surely they started to figure it out. But that was maybe 17 games in, right?
Right.
Okay, yeah, so this was the first hurrah right here.
But you know, but they were talking about how Kawhi, you see how Kawhi's assist total is going up. He was facilitating.
Hmm.
Is 3 assists and 5 turnovers good?
Hmm.
Is 9 turnovers and 9 assists good? Chris, you know, you've been covering this game a lot longer than I have. Is that good? Because my guy did 12-0. Mm. My guy did 11-2.
Who's
my
guy? Guy? I don't know.
You don't do that, Skip. You know.
Kevin Durant?
Go.
I don't know.
James.
Oh, go.
Oh, that
he turned
guy.
This all into LeBron.
You know good way. Because, Skip, because you know, Chris, if LeBron James had a night like this.
When LeBron goes sub 50% shooting, it's a story. I got to give him that.
Hmm.
That's the truth.
Well, wait a second. LeBron did have a night like this, and it happened to be opening night against the Clippers. And LeBron scored 2 in the fourth quarter, and his new running mate shot 0.
And if I'm not mistaken, that might have been the last time we saw Kawhi play was over that night.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I think he was.
Do you agree that the Kawhi situation is something you really got to watch?
It was troubling because on offense last night, he was either saving himself or limping.
That's what it looked like.
Marcus Smart was in him, too.
Yeah!
Marcus Smart got in.
Got up on him.
Yeah.
And then guess what?
Austin's tough.
And remember, he forced that turnover at the end of the game, didn't he? Oh, yeah. Marcus Smart on him. Mm-hmm. He tried to get Marcus Smart. Hey, he didn't even look at the referee. He pointed that way because he knowed he had hit the ball and kicked it off his heel.
Huh.
Yeah, yo guy. I wish Marcus Smart. You remember?
You know, somebody across me seems like he's really threatened by the new guy at Staples.
Hey, Chris, right? You remember Marcus Smart tried to guard LeBron in them 7 games when LeBron was in Cleveland?
Mm.
And he had what? He had like, oh my goodness, he averaged like 38-10.
Did he?
Yeah.
Is that the year they won the championship? Or no, wait, they lost to Golden
State. They lost. How Golden State looking now without KD?
Mm. Oh.
And all the.
Well, it's more than him.
But here's the thing. Now you see what it's like. See, when everybody have their weapons, when Clay and Steph and KD and Draymond were beating out everybody, it was like, that's what they played against.
Yeah.
Teams that didn't have a whole lot of talent, just like they don't, and that's what you get.
Mm.
But your day coming.
Change.
Christmas Day, your day coming.
Your day already came on opening night.
Skip tells me every day, the basketball season doesn't start till Christmas. Now it started opening day. It takes a hiatus, and then it'll pick back up after
All-Star
game.
They sent their statement. Their message was sent on opening night.
No.
Now they're waiting for April.
No.
The Lakers look like a new team. You got to admit. The interesting thing is going to be, too, both of them are obviously great defensive teams.
Great.
The Clippers' strength is the perimeter defense.
Is.
The Lakers' strength is the length at the rim.
I agree.
And so
I do have some concern about the Clippers' interior because it's Big Zoo or bust.
Oh, right. Big Zoo, hey, he turned Kemba away a lot. Mm. Kemba had beat his guy, and Big Zoo was like, uh-uh. Mm. I got. But he can't do that, AZ. Oh, AD.
Mm.
Oh, AD. And then we throw JaVale, and then we come with D. Howard. Oh, we loaded. Big. The skyscraper. We go to that skyscraper lineup. Can't see us.
Can't see us.
You know we could do that at any time, right?
Mm. What did you
know
say?
We could do that, right? What if we go Kuzma, Braun, AD, JaVale, and Dwight? What are they going to do, Chris? What are they going to do with that skyscraper lineup?
That might be the oldest lineup ever.
No mercy. LeBron James and the Lakers currently have the best record in the league at 12-2. And the so-called washed king has been making an early case for his fifth MVP award, averaging 25 points per game and leading the NBA with more than 11 assists per game. Those numbers have caught the eye of his former boss, Magic Johnson, who tweeted yesterday, if he continues at this pace, he will definitely be the league MVP this season. No one is playing better than him. And what's scary is his story is still being written. Powerful words from Magic there. Chris Broussard back with us. But you know what, Shannon?
Yeah, Shannon.
Since it's your guy, yeah. I'm going to start with you. What percent chance do you give LeBron to win MVP?
Yo, Bailey, but Graffy say, boy, when you see a man push a glass up like this here, and he put that knuckle like that right there, Skip Bayless. You listen to what I'm telling you now. Mm-hmm. I told you this day was coming. I foretold of this.
You did?
I foretold of this.
You predicted he was going to win MVP?
Was he your preseason pick?
AD.
Oh. Thank you.
I foretold that LeBron was going to have an unbelievable season.
True.
Now, I said he would be skipped somewhere between 23 and 25 points. I do believe he will lead the league in assists at about double digits. I say I think his rebounding total will fall off considering they got JaVale, they got Dwight, they got AD. So how many rebounds? It's not like they'll be getting 65 rebounds a game. There's only so many to go around. Huh. But Skip, right now, he's the best player. Hmm. Or the best team with the best record. Isn't that how it normally goes? Giannis Antetokounmpo. He was the best player with the team with the best record. Ta-da! James Harden. Ta-da! That's how it goes, right, Skip Bayless? So the way I'm looking at it, I said 56. I might have been off a little bit. I might reevaluate that, say 60. But I'm not going to do that just yet. Since the season doesn't start till after Christmas, I'm going to reevaluate at the first of the year. But I like what I'm seeing, Skip Bayless. He's in total control. Orchestrating this thing flawlessly. You know, he's like 2 assists ahead of the next closest guy, which is Luka. Luka, superstar. You know, we Skip and I talked about this. Luka going to be my guy, too. Got me another guy, 2 guys.
Really?
So when LeBron...
Yeah, 2 guys who don't play defense.
Whoa. Hold on. Did you hear what LeBron said when they called that foul on him when he got the Gallinari? He said, hey, Mark. Mark, talk about Mark. I think it's Davis. Mark Davis. Yeah. I know I haven't been playing defense the last couple of years, but this is a new year. This is a new year, Mark. I'm playing D-Mark.
He got blown by Gallinari.
Gallo's got a deceptively quick.
He must.
Yeah, whatever, yeah. Skip Bayless. But I'm going to give him, Jenny says, what is the percent? Yeah. I'm going to say 67.32% because James Harden is averaging 40. Right. Giannis Antetokounmpo is like 31 and 14.
0.32. Yeah. Thank you for putting that in there.
But right now, if the season ended, which it won't, I feel very comfortable where we are. I don't think he's slowing down. And guess what he's doing? Unlike somebody else we know, he doesn't load management. And he definitely doesn't load manage in the game like somebody else we know, too. Because he was load managing and load managing in the game. So I like it. 67.23% LeBron James wins the MVP.
You said 3-2.
It's already dropping.
It's already down.
But it's going to be hard. But James Harden averaging 40.
All right. Look.
Well, wait a second. AD now has a what percent chance of winning?
Yeah, where's he at?
14.
Really? You've swung that completely low. Around to GOAT James.
Goat.
67.32.
Chris even like GOAT James.
He is balling. It's funny. I made a video where I said these are the 3 things LeBron needs to do to lead them to the championship. Play point guard.
Check.
Be focused and energized defensively.
Check.
Engaged. And no drama.
Check.
I feel good about that right
check,
now.
Phil Bayless.
As far as MVP, here's what I'll say. LeBron right now is one of 4 leading candidates. Obviously, it's early, but one of 4 leading candidates. Giannis, Luka, not in order, and James Harden and LeBron. LeBron, this is what helps him. He's got the most romantic narrative of all of them, right? 17th season. Nobody ever in the history of basketball in their 17th season has been in the... arguably the best player in the world. So he's 17th season, 35 years old in December. People wrote him off, said he was no longer the best player in the world. Yep. Playing a new position and becomes the best point guard in the league. So all of that narrative is with LeBron. Here's the challenge, though. Even though he may be playing the best, the basketball arguments for the other guys, I think, could be stronger than LeBron's. And here it is. Giannis, you mentioned the numbers. 30 points, 14 assists, 6 rebounds, 59% shooting, and they're 11-3. He has no second star. LeBron obviously has AD, which historically has hurt some guys when you got a second superstar. So Giannis has no star, and his kind of star, Chris Middleton, is hurt right now.
Yeah.
Okay. James Harden, to your point. Now, I don't think you can win a championship averaging 39. But if he averages 39 points a game, and right now they're on a 64-win pace, if they win 60-plus and he averages 39, I'm sorry. I got to vote for James Harden. Mm-hmm. It's like the triple-double thing with Westbrook. Like, 39?
But
and you winning?
But look at LeBron's number. He on pace to win 68.
But 39, nobody but Wilt Chamberlain has topped that. So, okay. And then Luka. Might average a triple-double. Right now, he's 30, 10, and 9.5, wow. Right? Mm-hmm. And they're on pace to win 53. With no, Porzingis is like a roller coaster up and down. You know what you're getting from him. The other guys, nobody knows. This dude is taking the league by storm. So, and he's got a little narrative, too. Because he's only 20.
Luka. Didn't we talk about Luka yesterday?
He's on the Luka
2 days ago.
Yeah.
So I'm saying 30.
The guy who's shooting 31% from the three-point line, go ahead.
Luka.
He'll have his hot nights every
Did you see him last night?
Skip. He is the new age Larry Bird.
In a game, don't even put him
you
in
You did say that. Please,
lightning.
You did say
he
that.
He is the new age.
Oh, I'm ashamed of you for saying that. Because that's blasphemy to put him in the same sentence with Larry Bird. All they share is color.
Well, I'm going to give, speaking of this color, the last guy who was arguably the best player in the world that was white was Larry Bird. Mm. This guy is going to be arguably the best player in the
world.
He
defends nobody. Do you remember when the Lakers played?
How much did Bird defend? He got steals.
Kuzma said after the game, we just passed the ball to whoever Luka was covering. Seriously. That's what they said.
That's okay.
He's not a great defender. Neither is Harden. Bird, yeah, he got a lot of steals, but was he locking Magic? Got steals, but was
it's
he locking
It's my turn to talk about MVP.
30%, Joe.
What do you got? What percentage? 30%.
Given the LeBron-loving, LeBron-protecting media out there, given the millions of blind witnesses who actually cover this sport, it should be like 99.9%. It's really over now. They should just award it now because of the romantic narrative. Hashtag revenge season. Hashtag Wash King. No. I'm going to give him a 10% chance to win it, and I'm going to tell you why. Wow. If you really look hard at what he's doing, I tell you this every time it comes up, he's still the best passer in basketball.
Player.
So passer in basketball. So if you make him your full-time point guard, he's going to have assists to the point I'm really surprised he isn't averaging more than 11 assists. If the season finished today, his 11 assists a game would rank 39th all time. So it's not like he's breaking the assist record. Hmm. John Stockton in 1990 averaged 15 assists a game. Okay, it was John
12
Stockton.
12 on the mailman.
Okay, all right. Well, you got three mailmen going here. You're leading three. The league in dunks. Come on, you got one mailman. You can lob it to all three of them for dunks. They are all three in the top 10 of dunks. All three of the big guys. So that's like half your assists a night are on lob dunks.
Yeah, the other two, you got one mailman and two DHLs. It might take them a while to get
there. Okay. So what else do we see statistically here?
What?
LeBron's averaged 25 points a game. That's the worst since his rookie season. And again, it's because he's assisting the ball. But still, you're talking about the MVP here. His 8 rebounds a game are his worst since 2016. His 49% field goal percentage is worse since 2015. He's 35% from three.
That's pretty good. That's great.
Okay, 35?
That's great.
For him, it's pretty good. But for anybody else, it's not great.
What's Giannis shooting?
30. I don't know. I don't really care.
And what did Michael Jordan and Kobe shoot? Less than 35.
And his free throw percentage is all of 71%. It's better than last year's 67%, but it's still not MVP standard free throw shooting. 71%? Yeah. It's pathetic by superstar.
What's James Harden shooting from the floor? What's James Harden field goal percentage?
I don't care. I'm talking about LeBron James.
It's good, but 40.
So I'm going to give you these two. In PER, he ranks 7th. Is that MVP? But it's still, he's playing much better than I thought he would up to this point. And in defensive win shares, I'm going to give you this. He's 6th in the league.
Sixth.
That's very good. But We're coming off a game where all of a sudden Magic declares him on an MVP arc here.
Yeah.
And the last time I saw LeBron on the floor was against the woeful Oklahoma City Thunder in the fourth quarter. Can we just see what happened? This is a game in which he played all 12 minutes.
Oh, my goodness, there you go.
Can we see this? Okay, here's his first shot in the fourth quarter. That's an air ball. LeBron. Then he dribbles right into a turnover. LeBron, don't do that. What are you just dribbling right into traffic? Watch this. LeBron, that's an air ball. It hit the bottom of the bat. It was not a foul. LeBron, that's the MVP right there. Magic, way to go. Thank you. And it's an easy layup at the other end. And then look at this, the blow by. Gallinari blows right by. This is the guy with sixth in defensive win shares. Is that the MVP for you?
Yes.
Who cut that tape?
Hold on. So what was that? That was all in the fourth quarter.
That was only in the fourth quarter. He played all 12 minutes. He took 9 shots. The next on his team was 6.
It had 10, 5,
it's
and 2.
It's called stat padding in the fourth quarter of a game you are in that you have in hand.
No, you don't.
Yeah, and he played 37 minutes, a game high. And here's my problem. The reason I'm giving you a 10% chance, he's playing way too minutes too soon. It is middle November, November 20-something. And 21st. All of a sudden, well, when he played the game, it was 2 nights.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
So whatever. It's too much too soon. He's trying to show everybody, I got my quick twitch athleticism back. And he does have it back. You better be careful. You're pushing the envelope here.
Well, it's going to be interesting. They got 3 games in like 4 days. They got Friday night, Saturday night, and then they play again on Monday. So if he comes through this thing with flying colors here, Skip Bayless, somebody in a heap of trouble.
They're playing 3 G League teams.
There you go. Hold on. Are these the same teams that Giannis and Harden play?
Here's the thing, though, Skip. We can – look, if Kawhi and load management was not a thing, we would actually be looking at LeBron saying, he's only averaging 34 minutes a night. Like, it's his career low. We would think this is somewhat load management. So I just think we can't let Kawhi's strange patterns
seduce us into thinking this is okay.
Like, this is like what LeBron is playing less, right? I mean, again, think about it. Take Kawhi out. We never even thought about load management. We would be saying, this is smart. They dropping his minutes. This is the way to do it.
Chris. Still 36 minutes a game.
Well, what is it right now? 35?
35. Chris, let me ask you a question. Let's just say for the sake of argument, this was LeBron James load managing, and his team was losing every time he doesn't play. What would be said? I could imagine Michael Jordan played 8-9 straight times of 82 games, one with 80 and another with 75.
Michael Jordan was a freak of nature.
And he ain't that kind of freak. That's a super freak. That's a Rick James type freak.
He ain't real 23 freak.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah,
he freaky.
Listen.
That's Rick James. No mercy.
Well. Skip's Cowboys are certainly hoping Zeke gets a chance to eat against the Patriots this weekend after tallying fewer than 50 yards in back-to-back games. Elliott was asked yesterday if he was frustrated by his lack of production in the running game, and he was quick to defend himself as a team player. Take a listen.
I think if you have a problem keeping your spirits up, when we win a football game, that game we played last Sunday, you know, you win a football game, you're excited, you're happy. I mean, all the other stuff will handle itself. I always said accolades, all the other stuff, it's not important. What's important is winning football games, and you win football games, it'll handle itself. That's what a good teammate does. I kind of feel, you guys make me feel awkward. Like I'm supposed to be pissed because I have 40 yards and we won a football game. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't really want to get into it anymore.
Fox Sports NFL analyst Mark Shalareth with us. It was almost like an awkward giggle there. Mark, good to have you.
Yes.
So, should the Cowboys be concerned with Zeke's recent numbers?
No. Why? Because, I mean, one thing produces another thing. I mean, Zeke Elliott is the one guy that you've got to take out of this offense. And anybody who lines up that's a defensive coordinator will look at the Dallas Cowboys and say, 21 is our number one priority. Stopping 21 is our number one priority because he will bludgeon us, he will pick up blitzes, and he will catch the ball to the backfield. So that's the guy that we have to shut down. You look at the production of the passing game, you look at what Dak Prescott has done so far this season, a lot of that can be pointed right toward what 21 does. I mean, this is a football team. You look at the top 5 or 6 teams in the league, in regards to wins, you know what all of them have in common? They're the number one, number two, number three, number four, number five rushing teams in football as far as percentage of opportunities to run the ball. And the bottom five or six teams are all the top one, two, three, four, five teams as far as throwing the football is concerned. He takes so much pressure off the rest of this offense. He is such a good player and such a complete player at the back that, no, I'm not worried about his production at all. You know, he'll have one of those 150-yard breakout games here coming down the stretch. And
well, that'll be his first this year.
Well, has he not? Well, how many 100-yard games has he had? Has he had five? Has he had five?
He's eighth in the league in rushing now. He has dominated this league for 3 years in rushing. He's now eight.
Stink. Can you explain the skill? When TD getting to get 100 yards.
Okay, this is not TD.
No, but I'm saying.
Terrell Davis.
But the thing was, Stink them got upset that they allowed the defense and the defensive line and the line with the front seven to take TD away because they knew once they got him to the line of scrimmage, it was Ed and Rod's job to knock people off him down the field. But if TD wasn't getting to the line of scrimmage, they didn't do their job. But if we won the game, TD wasn't out there, man. Man, they need to give me my touches. Because if I don't get my touches, I can't. No. We don't have that. You're trying to win. And see what you're trying to do, Skip. But you're trying to, I want my guy. No. You want to win. Because I can assure you, when Dak was throwing for them 100 early in his career, I'm not saying he did it this year, but early in his career when he had those 190 yards and those 205s and they were winning, he's winning. I was like, whoa. But I thought, no, they're winning. That's all that's
they're
important.
They're 6-4. That's how much they're winning. They're barely above 500.
So you telling me a guy that leads the league in QBR, yards per attempt, and passing yards, got a 6-4 record, and that's Zeke's fault? I'm confused.
They are second in the league in handing the ball to their running back on first down. Second in the league. He is averaging the 24th best first down runs, 24th best average on first down. Every first down, I just fall off my chair. They hand it to him for 1 yard. They hand it to him for no yards.
That's Kellen
Moore. And the game at Minnesota against Minnesota on Sunday night came down to three straight plays in which I'm pretty sure Jason Garrett said, second and two at the 11, give it to Zeke. Zero. Third and two at the 11, give it to Zeke. -3. Fourth and two, throw it to Zeke in the flat. Nowhere. Covered. Snuffed. Over. Game over. I've seen enough of it. He is not the same back he used to be. And I miss the Zeke who ran angry and who spoke angry. I don't even know that guy we just saw because I needed a little bit of anger this week. Like, I haven't been myself, and I'm going to show you at New England the real Zeke.
Okay, what if he shows you what if he shows you the real Zeke at New England and they lose? What have he shown you?
Well, if we see the real Zeke up there, they can win this game.
No, they can't, but I'm saying, let's just say for the talking bit, he showed you the Zeke that you've seen the last 3 years.
Well, I'll come in here on Monday and say, boy, that was the real Zeke. That was the guy from last year.
No, I want you to No. That ain't what you said. You said you want to see the real Zeke. He's going to show you the real Zeke and you lose. What have you accomplished? Well, do you want wins or you want the real Zeke?
Okay, I've seen the real Dak every game this year.
Oh, you saw
How much does the real Dak have to do with Zeke taking the lion's share of the work. I would tell you this.
Those defensive coordinators are smart. Okay. They see what I see, which is you don't see much from 21 anymore.
Well, what I'm telling you is it seems to me that your real problem is with the coaching and the play calling.
Kellen Moore.
That's what your real problem is with. Not so, because if you're saying, hey, every time we face first down,
we hand it,
and there's a tendency that we're going to hand it to 21, Do you think the defensive coordinators in this league don't know that tendency?
Guess who leads the league in passing yards on second down? My quarterback, because he's having to dig out of holes that are dug by 21 going nowhere.
21 doesn't call the plays, Skip. Okay.
Well, I'm just saying, I've seen enough of that, and I wanted to see a hint of anger. He used to speak angrily after games when he didn't play well or the next week, where I wanted him to say, you know, I've had enough of this. And that's no shot at Dak. It's just about him.
But you know what I like, Skip? I love how you said in Minnesota, when they gave the ball, they gave it to Zeke twice and they threw it to him three times. You blame Jason Garrett, said he overruled the play calling. Okay. Well, have some of that same conviction about the play calls being called on first down when all they do is hand it to Zeke.
All right. But a lot of that is dictated by pre-week, like the during the week strategy. You just go in saying, first down, we're going to establish the run. They're doing what you said, you know, what you guys used to do with TD. Every first down, you want 5 yards. You want 6 yards. You want to play ahead of the chains instead of behind them. Mm-hmm. They ran it on first down 11 times at Detroit on Sunday, and it put them in hole after hole where the quarterback's got to dig you out with some unbelievable throw. He threw for 444, and without it, they would have lost to Detroit.
We did throw the ball on first down, so too did we think.
Yeah, absolutely. I would just tell you this. Like, it's not just Zeke. I mean, are your receivers blocking? Is your quarterback holding the backside so that you can gain a blocker on the front side? Like, is your scheme? Are you falling into the same thing? So one of the things that you see with the teams that can really run it, you see a ton of motion. There's no stagnant formations, ton of motion, ton of different looks.
49ers.
And variety within the running game. Like, if you're just saying, hey, we're going
to
line up and run lead ISO. lead ISO. I mean, you've got to – I always look at it from the standpoint of the way you call plays, and I'll take it to protection. If you give up 6 or 7 sacks in a game, your offensive coaching staff stinks. Mm-hmm. We'll all blame the offensive line, but your staff stinks. Because you have to understand how to protect the quarterback. And you've got to understand where your weaknesses and your problems are. And if you as a coaching staff don't understand your problems, well, you know what happens? You hand it to Zeke 11 times on first down, and he gets no yards. Mm-hmm. They don't understand the problems. Mm-hmm. That's a coaching staff issue. That's not a Zeke issue.
And who makes Zeke better running the ball when the quarterback is allowed to run the ball? Through 10 games last year, Dak had 53 runs called for him, or some more scrambles, but a lot of more called runs or option runs with the zone read where you could keep it. Sometimes you call that play that you're going to keep it, or a quarterback draw. I don't see any quarterback draws. This year he's run 33 times to 53 through 10 games last year. So they're going all Zeke all the time, and it's getting them nowhere fast. And again, I'm just eye testing. Right. This guy doesn't run. He doesn't attack the defense the way he did last year, the year before. And it's starting to make me fear he got $50 million guaranteed dollars, and all of a sudden he's more content than he used to be. That guy we just saw, that's a content Zeke. Like, what me worry? I don't really care.
But what if he just complained about, I need my carries? They winning, but I need my carries. I need my touches. I need to get me.
He did that once upon a time when he was at Ohio State. Remember, they lost a home game, I think, to Michigan State. And he complained after the game, they didn't give me the ball enough.
Right.
And then through his interview pre-draft process, he said, well, that I was out of
And line he called flack for that, right?
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you want him to catch flack?
Okay.
But not be a team player?
This isn't about carries. This is about what happens when you are handed the ball. I'm not seeing the same attack mode.
Are you seeing Tyron Smith and Zach Martin and Travis Frederick blow people off the ball like they once did?
No. Okay. Except against the Giants. That was the only night where even Zeke said after the game, biggest holes I've had, including my days in Pop Warner. Okay?
Okay. So, what's he going to do Sunday?
Guess what? New England, according to Pro Football Focus, has the 29th best run defense. Last two games, they have been gashed with the run. So if there's ever a game to snap out of this and have a 150-yard day, it is this day.
Well, how can you want Zeke to have 150 and Dak to have 500 passing, huh?
No, I'll take the 150 because that would set the tone. You could win a lower-scoring game.
Is Zeke's jersey still in your trash?
Yep.
Okay, he's going to have to play well for you to get it out at this point. Okay. That's what I've been worried about all week.
It's clean trash, though.
He threw it away.
No, he did not.
He needs to wait and see if he eats, and if that's the case, then maybe it'll come back. I've been worried about it.
Leave it in there. No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts. Sports. One. Of one. Of one.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.